The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, Confederation championships, World championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Water Ski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings once again and welcome back to the TWBC Podcast. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot and glad to have you on board once again. We return to the second part of the Hannah Strotzover interview. We've already covered a lot of ground in a part one. If you haven't listened to that already, I sincerely suggest that you make an effort to do so. Quite a lot of conversation there, especially about her skiing in her youth before making her way over to the United States for the first time. And when we pick up the interview, I asked her the question how difficult and how challenging it is to convert from cable skiing to tournament skiing behind the boat and vice versa. And we'll rejoin the interview as she answers that question.
Yes, well, as I said, I've been doing it for many years. So every year it gets easier for me. It's just a practice, you know. If you put a boat skier on a cable, it will take him a week to adapt. And then if you put him back on boat, it will take him extra week to adapt, you know,
wow.
To get back. Like, I had it the same when I was a kid. But then, the more I do it, the better it gets. So now, for me, it's pretty easy to switch between two.
Okay, so I mean, those Cable World Championships were in Poland, you know. So I mean, Poland's one of the leading nations in the cable tournament water skiing, and I mean, that event itself was a great event for not only you, but also Belarus that won the team overall title. But the major incident that took place at those championships concerned that Israeli skier, right? I'm sure you're watching in horror along the shoreside and seeing him being catapulted from number six into that dock.
The
Israeli skier, Oshanuk.
Israeli?
Yeah.
Glad I didn't see it, but I saw they stopped the tournament, and I mean, it's just an accident, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a floating pass that if you fall on a corner, you swim there and you can walk on it to get to the shore.
Mm-hmm.
So he fell on that, that dock. I mean, it's just an accident, you know, like...
Yeah, I mean, it looked pretty horrific.
It was after the course. It was after the corner. It wasn't in the slalom course.
Mm-hmm. But thankfully, he's rehabbing and he should be back on the water very, very soon. Mm-hmm. So shout out there to Oshanuk. But let's go back a little bit to last season. I mean, you won the Water Ski Pro Tour, a women's jump competition. Let's start off from the beginning, out of the off season. I mean, your first competition was what in 2021?
Qualifiers for Masters.
Which you did on the very first tournament, I believe, right?
Yes.
You qualified for the... Yeah, because... Yes. I mean, how much of... because the qualifiers came about because of COVID and there wasn't that many tournaments the year before to where the skiers could actually qualify on the basis of their world rankings or anything like that. So they did the qualifiers as they were. So did you have to change much in your mindset knowing that this was going to be a different set of challenges to qualify for what is known as the most prestigious event in tournament water skiing?
Mm-hmm. No, I wasn't nervous about that. I knew they take top five.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I knew I would make it anyway.
Okay.
Just
that's
like
confidence,
first,
I guess.
First or second tournament.
Okay. So you did it on the very first tournament. Didn't have to do it on any of the remaining tournaments, but I think you skied in one or two.
Yeah, I still went to Hancock. Mhm. Yeah, and I jumped there my PB 56.
Wow. That's about 185 feet.
Mhm. I don't know, we decided to go there just for we decided because I was still qualifying in tricks. Mhm. I decided to try tricks. I know like I wouldn't make anything at Masters, but still, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, I qualified in tricks there on the second tournament.
Okay, and obviously you didn't really have that much of a go on slalom, so I mean.
Oh, I couldn't slalom because I didn't have a limit score.
You didn't qualify into the qualifiers, yes. with the slalom score. So you qualified in the two events that you realistically had a chance to compete in now. You've been to the Masters before. You know what the situation is. You know how the close proximity of the crowds and everything going into this event. But you came into this event as the overwhelming favorite to actually win the women's jump event. You know, in certain other situations in the same tournament, you come into this event needing to beat someone else to actually get to realistically get the title. This year, this past season, you were the favorite. You were the one that everyone else needed to beat in order to become Masters champion. How did that kind of play with your psyche a little bit?
I knew I could win it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, for me, Masters is always pretty stressful because of the site.
Just the site itself, or just the everything else that goes on?
No, just the site, ski set itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like the water and setup and everything. And I was just nervous about that, you know, not about other skiers or winning. Mm-hmm. But I knew I could do it. I just needed to do my best, you know.
Okay. Yeah, because the Callaway Gardens isn't a lake that's designed specifically for skiing. I mean, it's a lake that just happens to have a very heavy cash prize tournament once every season.
But you know what? In finals, they decided to stop both between jumps, and mm-hmm. it helped so much. It was like a different site. It felt good.
Yeah, when they have the time, it's as good a site as anywhere else. But I mean, if they have a bunch of competitors in the preliminary round, I mean, it has to be bang 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 bang, because like the schedule is so tight on that Saturday, you know. But when it gets to Sunday and you just have three skiers in the finals, you know, they can just take their time,
yeah,
you know, and just make it right for the skiers.
But you know, if you wanna place or if you wanna win, you have to do it, you know, you get out and you do what you're supposed to.
Yeah, you have to get it going in the round one. So you won the Masters. I think the next event that you would have taken part in was the King of Darkness, right? Not too long afterwards.
I don't remember the sequence already.
No, but I know that you won King of Darkness. Now, what's that like? Because I mean, I've personally skied in night jump myself, and that just scares the living out of me.
Well, at King of Darkness, we didn't ski in dark. We jumped at dusk.
Yeah, kind of like dusk. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was comfortable. You could see everything. It was good.
Heck, you probably take one of the last sets of the day here practicing during the summer, you know, so that's probably very similar.
Yeah. And in the finals, well, Lauren jumped before me, and I think in my head I flipped numbers, and I thought she jumped further.
Mm-hmm.
And when I jumped, and I'm like, oh, I lost. And I was so sad. And I like almost started crying. Like, how? Like, Hannah, you, like, how couldn't you jump good? And then who had a microphone came to me to interview, and they were like,
yeah, that
oh,
was
you
Zach
won.
Gordon.
I'm
yeah.
like, what?
What?
yeah. It's just, I don't know why, but I just flipped numbers, you know, I had different numbers in my head.
Yeah, that's kind of a little bit strange. Maybe it's a little bit of a disposition, you know, like feeling like nervous all the way throughout a competition to the point of actually being, you know, pessimistic about what you've done at the end, you know, like feeling that you hadn't done enough, you kind of wish you'd done more, mm-hmm. but then kind of surprised when you did do enough and then you can celebrate, I guess.
Yeah. And I always had that feeling that I didn't do enough, you know? Yes, I won, but I still wanted more. I still wanted to go further.
Yes, absolutely. So, we got through the King of Darkness and you went through the Cable Worlds, which you've already discussed. Now, Malibu Open. This presented to you a different set of circumstances because a certain Australian competitor arrived for three tournaments, this being the first of them. You yes. know, I mean, and you smile and you giggle a little bit now, but, you know, I mean, if people are being frank and honest with you, they're probably like saying, okay, you won your event at the beginning of the season, you didn't have much competition. Now let's see how you do when Jacinta Carroll arrives.
And I did well, I guess.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, I did my score. I jumped far and it wasn't, you know, that far off.
Wasn't that far off. Yeah. That was probably about the closest that you'd gotten to Jacinta Carroll all season long. I mean, because, well, I mean, she hadn't really trained herself, to be honest. I mean, she'd been off the water for best part of 2, 3, 4 months, you know, because mm-hmm. of the pandemic restrictions in Australia. But So what was your attitude leaving Charleston, South Carolina that night after seeing after being in that tournament and the first time that you didn't win that season, mm-hmm. you know? So what was the game plan from there? I mean you obviously had to kind of up your game up from that point.
Yeah. I mean, I felt fine, and as I said, it wasn't far off, so I think I got not excited, but I had some hopes, you know?
Yes.
Like, I was fine, and Jay encouraged me. And, you know, before we left to Malibu, I've been jumping here, and I had, like, good jumps. He said it was in 90s, you know? And
which it needed to be if you were to stay competitive with Jacinta, right?
Yeah. And just now, Jay said at the end that maybe you gained the pick a little earlier than tournaments came, you know? But who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, it's always one of those situations, could have, better, should have, you know? I mean, in those situations, I mean, maybe you could have won the Masters with a little less in terms of distance, or maybe you could have done the same at King of Darkness, you know, with a little less distance, you know, but and leaving yourself a little bit more of a curve to obtain greater heights, you know? So you left Malibu Open in Charleston, and then you quickly got back to work because the World Championships were not too far away.
Yeah, we went straight back to Jack's, trained there, and then competed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how it is, how it happened. You know, I didn't fail. I didn't jump my... I can say I failed. I jumped good.
Yeah.
It just wasn't enough.
Just wasn't quite enough at that
yeah.
point and at that point in the game. But yeah, also as well at that point, I mean, your priorities weren't solely about jumping at that point. It was the overall. And that battle that you had with another fellow Belarusian, Sasha Denyashkaya,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I mean, how did that play into the deal? Because pretty much every tournament that you had up to that point was so focused solely on one event. Now you've got to add another two and try and stay competitive there as well.
Yeah. You know, I hate it when I know I can place an overall and it puts so much pressure into me. You know, at Worlds in Malaysia, I was concentrating on jumping.
Mm-hmm.
And overall was like a bonus. I didn't, like, I skied. I stood up my pass and tricks in finals. I slalomed. And I didn't hope, I didn't have any thoughts about overall, and it just came at the end, you know?
Yeah.
And here, I had that pressure on me that I can't place an overall, and I, like, I have to do it. It was a little, you know, a little hard.
Yeah, it kind of got real. You got to a realization that, yeah, okay,
yeah.
I'm pretty darn good. I might actually win out on this overall competition, you know, and it was probably one of the best overall competitions that we've seen in a long, long time, you know, between yourself and Sasha Denyskaya. Mm-hmm. You know, both of you being Belarus, there's obviously that similarity there. There's that contrast between you being from Novopolotsk and she being from Minsk, you know, so there's that little bit of rivalry. Is there that much of a rivalry between you and Sasha? You know, I mean, I was trying to gauge a little bit of the expression on her face and on yours, you know, around the dockside, you know, just trying to get ready for your respective turns, you know. So, I mean, do you get along with her?
We get along well in the regular life. We communicate and we're friends and stuff. And, I mean, on the water, you're just a competitor, you know?
Uh-huh. And I mean, it was, and like I said, it was a real tough competition, you know. And placing in second, you know, like top three in the world, I mean, probably not the spot that you wanted, but you know, but it's pretty respectable, pretty respectable. You know?
Yeah, thank you.
not a problem. So I mean, now you've got past the world championships, you got the second in the jump and you got second in the overall. Now you had to concentrate on one final outing, which was the Mastercraft Pro over in Lake Gru.
Mm-hmm.
Not the most pleasant of experiences for you.
I think it was the most horrible, like, crash in my life.
And they don't come around very often, which is a good thing.
Well, I wasn't nervous. I was comfortable there. And I wasn't, you know, like, I wasn't tired or anything after Worlds. It just happened. I don't even know what happened. Jay said that it, like, because we jumped the other direction and there was a weird wind. So maybe wind got me.
Yeah, because they swung the ramp around and they put it there for the point of view of getting more of the skiers to jump into the wind and get more distance that way.
Because he said he didn't see any mistakes that I made. Like, I was fine.
Or maybe pushing just a little bit too hard, maybe beyond the scope of what is safe for you to do so with your current technique, I guess. I don't know. I
mean, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, because that's what I saw anyway.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that, because as we get ready for the next season, obviously things are starting to ease up with the pandemic and COVID. More and more competitors are coming in and being available to ski in some of the competitions. No doubt you're in the Masters qualifier, and you're probably skiing other Masters, you know, based upon what you typically do. So that's on the immediate horizon. Now, obviously, going forward, at the end of this past season, obviously we saw that big old jump there from Jacinta. You won the Water Ski Pro Tour, you know. So there's that little bit of rivalry and that little bit of a clash going on for this season and going forwards. You know, how much are you kind of willing to push beyond the scope of of the safety with your technique to actually get closer to Jacinta, you know, because, I mean, comparing you to Jacinta's jumping is like comparing an apple to an orange, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. she's very, very aggressive, mm-hmm. and she makes no bones about that. Your technique is a little more subtle. You use a little bit more strength with the shoulders, you know, you keep everything up and you keep everything moving along. But when the time comes and she puts out a distance that you need to chase down, how much can you go beyond what you do technically to achieve that?
I mean, I still need to get stronger, like in the gym, like just overall be stronger, and I think I need to push it to more aggressive jumping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'll get there.
There you go. I think, yeah. Yeah, I think everyone sees how aggressive she is, you know, and maybe that's the thing. Maybe you've got to just, you know, throw a little more caution to the wind and just get after it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like,
but then again, she is like about a foot shorter than you, so I mean, she's got that weight.
No, I think I just need to, yeah, trust myself and get a little more aggressive with the jumping, you know. Because I always was kind of protecting myself, like, not going easy, but not going crazy, you know?
Yeah,
just like rationally.
Yeah, kind of find that middle ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you say rationally?
No, like smart, you know? I'm not going crazy. Oh, I'm going for it, you know? I think about it, and, like, it's smart skiing or like protective,
yeah, a little bit more cerebral,
yeah,
type deal, you know, just ski smarter, not harder, I guess.
Yeah, I think I need to change that a little bit.
Okay, so with that in mind, off season you're working in the gym, obviously less than an hour after, you know, an hour after doing that, you're doing the podcast here with me.
Yes.
So what kind of stuff are you working on? Is it going to be more, is it going to be a little bit of cardiovascular? Is it going to be more like muscle producing, that type of stuff? Or what kind of mix are you hoping to get out of that?
It's mostly just like engage as many muscles, as many different exercises as I can to work my body from different, you know, ways. Also explosive,
mm-hmm.
Exercises. I do cardio sometimes on the bike, but it's not, it's more for even, can we redo this part?
Okay.
If
hold on a sec.
Well, I work on strength, of course, to engage as many muscles as possible in different ways and different exercises. Also, explosive work. I do cardio sometimes on the bike. And I also swim for my back. It builds my back, and it keeps me, I believe it keeps me from injuring it.
Yes, indeed, because one of the things that I noticed a lot, you know, with a certain Miss Carol so far as jumping is, she's built herself up to a certain point, you know, for a weightlifting endeavors, you know, and strengthening her back and her stomach to where if she does get pulled out of position into the jump, she has enough strength in her stomach and her back to kind mm-hmm. of save herself and still come away with a very, very pleasant distance, mm-hmm. you know. Is that something that you're looking to replicate?
Not really. I'm not a heavy lifter. And actually, I started lifting weights last year. So before, it was only like body weight exercises. So yeah, I mean, I'm increasing weight, and the heavier weights are the better, and then I'm stronger, but not as heavy, so I'm stiff and I can't trick, you know. You still need to be flexible and agile and explosive, like in any event.
Very good. And I'm pleased you actually used the word agile. It's not a word that, that gets thrown out there very, very, very much, especially for non-English speakers. So I'll give you some major props for that. Let's talk about coaching. Obviously you hinted upon your original coach, Genove, in Belarus, right?
Yes, yes.
You know, so obviously he took you from a wee small kid to as far as he could, you know, in Belarus, you know, took you to the lake and got you skiing on there. But your primary coach in the United States when you're here is Jay Bennett. What has his impact been for your skiing? I mean, how impactful has his words and encouragement been to your success?
Oh, he helped me a lot. I mean, he changed my technique in slalom. He, you know, like when I used to jump more on my strength and power than technique. So now, for last few years that I'm here, he's been trying to teach me some technique and jump with a technique, not with a strength, you know. Like when you have technique and then you have strength, it will double up, you know.
It will double your output, yeah. Type deal almost, you know. So I mean, and Jay's like one of the best jump coaches in the world. I mean, a lot of people come from various locales, from various places to seek his counsel so far as jumping is concerned. A lot of, like I say, a lot of competitors like Regina Jaquess would come here, like Brittany Greenwood, and I'm not too sure if I'm probably reaching for some more competitors. But when you're standing on the dockside with one of the greatest skiers in the world, and you've got others that are chasing it down, and then there's you know, putting your jump skis on the dock, waiting for your turn. Kind of give us a sense of what goes in your mind a little bit aside from putting the tape around your heel or putting your gloves on.
I don't really know.
I mean, obviously, Regina's a skier that everyone would aspire to. I mean, whether you're male, female, you know, she's like one of the greatest out there. So
yeah,
I mean,
maybe like last year, I put myself a little down, you know, that I'm not that good enough, I'm not that strong and stuff, and I know that I need to change it and to be more competitive in my head, and that.
So it would be fair to say that you're easily humbled by it. Humbled is probably a softer word for another word, which is intimidated. You know, so somewhere in the middle there is humbled. Do you feel humbled in the presence of someone like Regina on a starting dock? You know, even for something like a practice.
I think I was last year, but last year, because the year before, I didn't ski, the COVID year, I almost didn't ski the whole year. I broke my toe and I was back home. So when I came into the next season, I wasn't as strong. So maybe that's why I felt like that. And we'll see this year. I hope I will be. I will feel more confident, you know.
You feel like you'll be on the same plane as someone like Regina Jaquess or someone like that. But and it's interesting. And it's interesting to hear you say about Belarus, because it's fair to say that those that have come from Belarus that have achieved a level of success probably don't feel that much of an urge to return to Belarus, even for a few days or weeks, you know, to spend some time back at home. But you, on the other hand, you know, you did spend a few weeks in the off season during the winter. You know, you probably came home to your family, you know. And one thing that we didn't know about you is you're married.
Yes. Yeah, that's the reason I go back home. Yes.
You got to visit the husband occasionally, keep him happy, I guess.
No, it's like we live in not easy world, you know. He was denied a visa. He couldn't come visit me for a few years.
Oh, wow.
It was hard, yeah. That's why I was like half here and half back home, like in my head.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's here now for a couple of weeks and we'll see how it goes after.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, obviously there'll be serious conversations being made there, but but aside from him being in Belarus, I mean, is there anything about Belarus itself that kind of draws you back? You know, do you feel a little homesick, you know, from spending that much time away from your home city of Novopolotsk?
Not anymore. I think I was when I started coming over here, but I'm more comfortable here right now. And yeah, and I feel good now here and don't have that urge to go back home.
Okay, or not nearly as much anyway, but you know, because I mean, I see a number of competitors from Belarus, you know. I mean, there's I don't know whether Oleg has made it back to Belarus or whether Alexei Zernicek travels the world. Natalia is over at Jack's place with John Travers, you know, and Sasha. Well, she's there with Taylor Garcia, you know, and studying.
No, right now for me, it's just for my skiing. It's the best here. Like you. We have a nice lake, we have a nice system set up, everything's close, but we don't have a perfect boat, we don't have perfect ramp and course. You can improve there to a certain level, but at the top you need best conditions, you know.
Yeah,
improve more.
Yeah, that would definitely make a lot of sense, you know. So, anyway, so let's drill down a little bit more on a personal level. I mean, we've gone pretty much over an hour here. So, I mean, just in a nice conversational way, it kind of surprised me a little bit, and almost totally forgot about it that you married. And tell us a little about that. Tell us a little about your husband. You know, I mean, we don't hear about him. You know, you know, you train a lot. You don't talk about him very much. I mean, yeah. I mean, I hear one or two bits of conversation. You know, none of which I can understand because I can't speak Belarusian. But I'm sure that's him on the end of the line, I would guess.
That's because I knew I had to be here to train, to improve. And it just happened this way that first time he was denied a visa, he couldn't travel. And
what does he do for a living? I mean, give us a sense of what he's about.
He does a lot of like little different stuff.
Okay.
He works as a manager in Greece. He works online. There is a company in Greece that does yacht rental and a lot of Russians come there, so he communicates with those Russians.
Okay.
And some advertising on the internet, so he can still work remotely too.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like a pretty good life, you know. He's stays away a little bit out of Belarus and works in Greece and remotely, you know. So I mean, that's not a bad life at all, you know. So and you get to see him, you know, not as often as you would like, but I mean, you do get to see him, which is good.
Yes. And this is the first time he made it here, and I'm happy.
I mean, I can only imagine the scene on the phone, like saying, "Yes, I got a visa." Woo!
Yeah.
And then.
I mean, it's pretty hard. If you, if you deny the visa, a tourist visa, you will not get a tourist visa anymore. Like, there is no way. And I guess we just got...
Is that more a case from the United States level or from the Belarusian level of officiating?
From the United States.
That's from the United States, no, so...
Yeah. Yeah, we just got lucky that he got a visa, I guess.
Well, there you go. Well, yeah. Well, as someone said, in this world, you kind of make your own luck. So kudos to him for making that kind of luck and making it over. So, that aside, you obviously training. I saw pictures of you riding jump skis, you know, and getting back into the frame. Probably not hitting the ramp so much yet.
No,
but I mean, you're just working on getting your cardiovascular and just getting.
Yeah, for now it's just drills, you know. I don't like them, but I need to do them.
Who does? You know, I mean, everyone that comes here to Bennett's and trains under Jay knows that he is very, very. Discipline so far as doing the drills from one side of the weight to the next, the crane drill and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he does it for a reason, to make sure you hit that ramp safe.
Yeah.
So with that, we'll kind of wrap it up a little bit. We'll thank you very much for being a part of this podcast. And normally I invite whomever I interview the chance to say thank yous and best wishes and that kind of stuff, you know, to people that have helped them along the way up to this point, you know, whether it be recent or a long time ago. So if you want to say thanks and give some acknowledgement, your chance here is yours.
Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, thanks to my coach back home, Arkady Genov, who picked me and gave me this path, you know, into water skiing. And then, of course, to Jay Bennett, who adopted me here, I guess, and coaches me and helps me. Yeah.
All right. So
those are main people who
got you to where you are now.
Yeah.
Well, we certainly thank you for taking a little bit of a time out
and,
of you.
I mean, of course, my husband, he always like encourages me in a like psychological way, you know, like he doesn't know anything about skiing, but like technique and skiing and stuff, but he always like, you can do it, go for it, and supports a lot.
Gives you that little mental boost, that kind of encouragement.
Yes.
Going forward.
Even when I went to Monroe, I'm like, no, I can't pass that English exam, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that. He's like, you can do it, just do it. And it worked out, you know.
Excellent stuff, and worked out it did. Well, that was Hannah Strzaltsova. This is Tony Lightfoot for the latest edition of the TWBC podcast. Thanking you once again for being a part of this. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.